Sabbath, Shabbat, or Shabbos is Judaism's day of rest. It remembers the biblical creation story in the book of Genesis, where God creates the world in 6 days and then rests on the seventh, and the Hebrew exodus out of slavery in Egypt. Observance entails refraining from work activities, even sometimes going to great lengths to do so, and engaging in restful activities to honor the day. Sabbath observance is mentioned in the Ten Commandments found in the book of Exodus. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And when you see Ten Commandments printed, usually that's all it says. But it keeps going. It says, "For 6 days you shall labor and do your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. You shall not work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it." It's believed by many scholars to be the first and most sacred religious institution of Judaism. Now, by Jesus' time, there was a piety movement called Phariseeism that added some guidelines about what qualified as keeping Sabbath or breaking Sabbath, what qualified as work, and what qualified as rest. And the reasons why perhaps this cropped up was because the penalty for breaking Sabbath was pretty harsh, like death. Death by stoning. By Jesus' time, however, breaking Sabbath was probably something like you would get punished by being beaten in public. So still really, really harsh. And probably hence the reason why some people wanted to spell out what was work and what was rest. This type of religious expression, this kind of legalistic approach to the law of the Sabbath, as severe as it was only one expression among many among Jews at the time of Jesus. But it did carry certain weight in certain parts of the region where Jesus traveled. In our story today, Jesus is traveling in one of those regions. And his disciples are walking through a field where they are plucking grains off of the stems of wheat or rye or something, presumably to kind of snack as they're walking. The Pharisees who are watching Jesus here consider this to be reaping, a form of work that was out of bounds on the Sabbath. And they question Jesus about this. So Jesus tells them a story about how King David used sacred bread to feed his hungry troops. The bread of presence, which was consecrated for priests and set aside in the special place in the temple or in local synagogues, was used to feed these people. The bread of presence was there to meet a need. In this need, it was hungry people. And in that case, it served a role. So what Jesus is trying to say here is that religious observance, like the Sabbath, is meant to be a benefit to human beings. Now later, on another Sabbath, the same group of religious leaders is watching Jesus as he approaches a man with a withered hand. They want to catch him in the act to see if he would heal a man on the Sabbath, another action that is considered out of bounds. The Greek here for the word watch is the same word that we would use for hunting. You know, we sit and wait. They're hunting Jesus here. They're waiting for him to slip up. Jesus knows what's up, and he calls everyone around. He says, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But no one says anything. And Jesus was angry and he was sad because this is what had become of an important religious practice to these people, observance of the Sabbath, one that was meant to give life and restore dignity. So he heals the man in our story, and the religious leaders go away and plot how they will destroy him. One of the underlying theories about the Sabbath observance is that it was instituted as a respite for former slaves. In our stories from Scripture, the Hebrew people were slaves in Egypt. But once they were freed, they were given the commandment to rest. Because in their former lives, rest was not possible. As slaves, they were worn down and worn out. And this practice, rest for one day in a week, restores dignity. So as people of God, they worked and then they rested. Every one of them, even their animals, rested. The poet Wendell Berry writes that Sabbath observance invites us to stop. It invites us to rest. It asks us to notice that while we rest, the world continues without our help. It invites us to delight in the world's beauty and abundance. When I was in San Francisco a few weeks ago, I attended a Shabbat service that was packed with meaning and beauty and joy. Much of that service was familiar. There was music and there was prayer. There was a blessing of a child and the sending off of someone who was moving on to the next community. There was a sermon, and of course there was food, because where two or more are gathered, there's food, apparently, for religious people. And part of it, of the service, was in Hebrew. And I didn't understand everything that was happening. But there was joy in that moment, one that could be shared across culture. The meaning of the sung liturgy and the meal, a community together after a busy week. It was deeply moving. It was a joyful celebration of the command to rest. There was a time not too long ago, maybe 50 years or so, when the only people on call 24 hours a day were doctors and pastors. I remember my doctor growing up, a close family friend, receiving calls on his pager and having to borrow our house phone and then running off and leaving his kids with us while he would have to deliver a baby or remove a hangnail or something. And I remember when I was in high school, my pastor getting a cell phone, and it was big. Not like the shoebox size big of the late 80s, but it was still pretty big. And he carried it around, and I remember sitting with him during one of his son's wrestling matches, and he got a call and had to leave because he was on call. I think times have changed a little bit, though. It's not just pastors and doctors who are on call 24 hours a day anymore. For those of us who work today, it seems like we're connected wherever there's cell phone service. Many of us take work calls at home or while on vacation. Most of us check work email while we are kind of off the clock, if off the clock means anything anymore. And sometimes this is expected from our companies. In countries like France and Italy and the Philippines, most recently the state of New York, have enacted or have begun to look at the right to disconnect legislation to protect workers. And sometimes we invite this upon ourselves because it is sometimes easier to get work done around the fringes of life than. We are a people who often say, why put off until tomorrow what can be done today? It would seem very churchy for me to say we need to carve out more time for rest, more time for family, more time for those things that matter most. But I don't think that that's what Jesus is trying to say here. I think he is saying that religious observances need to meet the needs of the people they were created for. And if they're not meeting the basic needs of the people they were created for, then something needs to be adjusted. Likely, we all know by now that we need time to stop working, to unplug and rest, to reconnect to those people and practices that matter most to us. But there are also times when that's not possible, and we don't need to feel guilty about that. The world may go on without us, but our own worlds, as small as they are sometimes, can get really flustered if we don't take care of that extra task or finish that project on a late night on Saturday. Because sometimes work is important, and sometimes we need to make sacrifices to get it done, because that's what we need to do. And we probably also all know that we can't make those sacrifices forever. Otherwise, we will lose those things that are most important to us and likely lose ourselves in the process. So we have a reminder, a religious observance of rest, a prescription to take good care, to not wear out or burn out or go too long without setting time apart from the cares and stresses of everyday life. And part of your Sabbath, your time of rest, includes traditional religious expressions like prayer and reading or attending services or volunteering or going on retreat, but maybe not. Maybe it includes binge-watching Netflix or reading a trashy novel or going on a hike or talking to your sister or taking a break from talking to your sister or crocheting or making something in the shop or digging in the dirt. And when we've gone so long without rest, without true Sabbath, that we've lost something about ourselves, we can come back to it at any time and justify it by saying, rest is simply part of my faith. May we not get stuck on the hows and whens and for how longs of Sabbath. May we have the strength to do what we need to do, even if it requires sacrifice. But may we always remember that Sabbath is waiting for us, here for us, and by the grace of God. Amen and amen.